You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
Good morning, folks, and welcome back to our podcast, Pastor Eli Reynolds and my wife, Faith. And we're so thankful for every one of you that listen, and I hope the times that we do this, hope it's a blessing to you. We've been dealing with, we started last week on a new theme, dealing with grow in grace. And Faith, tell us about our topic today.
Our first specific topic in growing in grace today is forgiveness. And we'll start off with the verses, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. They say, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God tells us to be kind. He tells us to forgive because God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And it all comes back to that.
Great verses. I mean, such amazing teaching from those verses. But you think about this. Jesus, when he was on the cross, he forgave people. And they were not asking for his forgiveness. They were crucifying him. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, even as they were in the act of hurting him.
And Jesus is our perfect example in every area. But in this one, you know, no one can hurt us like Jesus was hurt. Sometimes we say, well, they didn't ask me to forgive them. Or last time I forgave them, they just hurt me again. Jesus is our example. We should be quick to forgive just as he was.
Exactly. Hebrews 12:15 gives another look at this topic, and it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. When bitterness gets in us, it springs up, it troubles us, and it doesn't stay there. It hurts the people around us. You think about people that get bitter at church or get bitter at whatever. You can usually trace it back to something little that they just decided not to forgive.
So examine yourself as you listen to this podcast on forgiveness, not other people. Examine your marriage. Is there something that has been done and you really have not forgiven your spouse? Maybe something that you need to ask for forgiveness for.
Right. And the thing about that verse, it talks about, you know, the root of bitterness. So it starts out, you know, underground. It starts out in your heart where no one can see it. But eventually it grows and it produces something in you to where it's actually pretty obvious to people around you by your spirit what type of a bitterness, you know, that you have bitterness coming out in your life.
Yeah, that unforgiveness, that bitterness always comes out. You know, we've seen people post things online and I think, where did that anger come from? Mm-hmm. I never saw that in them. But there had to have been some unforgiveness, some hurt that they have not forgiven that has just been growing and growing, and then it comes out. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like the devil would like nothing more than to see a little root of bitterness start growing in the heart of a husband or a wife against their spouse, a little root of bitterness growing in a teenager against their parents or in a church member against their pastor, because that will grow and grow and it will come out and it can destroy a relationship.
And I think most people would be very surprised at how little a thing it can be that starts this process of bitterness and unforgiveness, you know? And if you look on it with adult eyes or even spiritual eyes, you'd think, well, that's a small thing. But just even something so small, give not place to the devil, you know? But an unforgiving spirit stunts our growth. And that's what we're dealing with, is growing in grace. And if we have an unforgiving spirit, it's going to stunt our growth spiritually. We're not going to be growing like we ought to. So we have four thoughts today we want to leave with you. The first thing we're going to talk about is ask for forgiveness from others. Ask for forgiveness from others. Now, what is it in us that keeps us from asking for forgiveness? It's very simple. It's pride.
It always is pride.
That's the problem. You know, well, they'll get over it. Or, well, I didn't really mean to, so they just need to forget about it.
We'll come up with all sorts of excuses why not to apologize. Mm-hmm. And I have to say this. Long time ago, when I was a little girl, I lied about a friend. Yes, I did. I lied about a friend. And I don't know if I did it to, you know, get attention or to have something interesting to say. I don't even know why I did it. But I never fessed up. Well, that girl got in trouble. And, you know, thankfully we didn't have internet and Facebook and all this kind of stuff back then. So we didn't go public or anything. But for years, God worked on my heart that I need to apologize. And I came up with all sorts of excuses. Well, I'm sure she's forgotten about it. Or why bring up the past? And they were all excuses so I would not have to humble myself. Finally, we're talking when I'm in my 30s. I told the Lord, if you give me an opportunity to apologize, give me an open door, I will do it. Well, he did. Mm-hmm. And I had a conversation with this person, I mean, so many years later. And I said, look, I don't know if you remember. Well, guess what? She remembered.
Yeah.
She remembered. Yeah. And I apologized. We cried. We hugged. And then she told me, so many people have hurt me, and you are the first one to ever apologize.
Wow.
You know, and I think, and she forgave me, and we got past it. But I thought, that's why God wanted me to apologize. It really did help her. But do you know who else it helped? Me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt so light, so free, very vulnerable, very humbled for sure. But I couldn't believe how God helped our relationship because of that apology.
And it didn't necessarily change what had happened.
No, you can't go back.
You can't fix it. But you can fix the forgiveness and bitterness part of it, which is what I think was so good about that. You know, I have thought for years that you were perfect. So hearing this is just really,
But you really never know what an apology will mean to someone. And don't offer excuses. You know, don't try to give yourself a way out. I mean, really humble yourself and give a sincere apology.
That's the key. It takes humility, because the reason why we said at the very beginning there, the reason why you won't ask for forgiveness is pride. It's something that takes humility. But, you know, here's a thought. What do you do if you did nothing wrong, but yet someone is angry at you? You know, most people, especially those in ministry, have received letters, and I've gotten those things. You know, what do you do if you really think, you know, they're mad, but I don't think I did anything wrong? Well, what you do is you examine yourself. Did I do anything wrong? Could I have said something or done something that they could have taken the wrong way? Was I unkind and didn't realize it? You have to go back and examine yourself. And if you think that you have done something wrong, you have to apologize. You have to humble yourself. But if not, you know, you don't need to apologize. I mean, you just have to kind of get it right if you did something wrong. That's the thought. You
right.
know?
And you pray for that person because you know that kind of anger came from some kind of hurt.
Right.
Maybe you didn't hurt them, but it came from somewhere, right? There's so much anger in the world. And before, I mean, this month, there still was anger in the world. Mm-hmm. And there is even more this month than last month. But a lot of the anger and bitterness, not everything, but a lot of it comes from unforgiveness, hurts in the past that people did not get over. And we say the answer to the world's problem is Jesus, because only the love of God can help someone truly forgive, get past the anger, get past the bitterness, and have a joyful life.
Mm-hmm. If you work with people, if you do work with people, you will eventually, accidentally probably, offend someone. And again, examine yourself. Do you need to apologize? Did you do something that you know was wrong, or that you know could have been taken the wrong way, and apologize for it? So the first thought, ask for forgiveness from others. Takes humility, but we got to do it. The second thought is give forgiveness to others. And again, just like Jesus, even if they don't ask, you have to give that forgiveness.
And I wonder which is harder. Is it harder to ask for forgiveness? Is it harder to give it?
Yeah.
You know, so that would be different for everybody. We have tried to teach our kids to get in the habit of twofold. Get in the habit of apologizing when you have done something wrong. You did it. You know, if you messed up, fess up, pretty much, right? If you messed up, fess up. So apologize. And then we have tried to teach them, the second step is if someone hurts you, you also have to give forgiveness.
Yes.
And so if one sibling will say, I'm sorry, the other sibling doesn't say it's okay, because it's not okay. They have to say, I forgive you. They have to say the words.
Yes.
So we have been training them, and it's good to make your kids say, I'm sorry, and I forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
That is biblical. Well, a story came up a while ago, and it just it's sort of funny. Well, I had asked Zoe, this is maybe a year ago, asked Zoe to pour Lucky Charms for herself and for Silas. You know, she's 7, he's 4. And you know the best part about Lucky Charms is the little marshmallows, right? Mm-hmm. Without the marshmallows, you get kind of a weird version of Cheerios. That's just what you have. Well, she poured Silas a bowl of Lucky Charms, and I looked in his bowl, and there were no charms. And sadly, my first thought was, Zoe, did you eat all the marshmallows in Silas's bowl? And she just had a look on her face, and she nodded her head yes. I said, okay, well, go down the hall and apologize to your brother for what you did. So Silas and her come out to eat their cereal, and I said, Silas, did Zoe apologize? And he said, yes, I forgave her. I said, okay, well, that was easy. So he starts eating his cereal, and then he says, where are all my marshmallows? Where are my marshmallows in my cereal? And I said, Zoe, I don't think Silas understood your apology, did he? And I said, Silas, Zoe ate all the marshmallows out of your bowl. Well, you should have just seen the look of betrayal on mm-hmm. his face as he turned slowly to look at his sister with mouth wide open. And I said, Zoe, maybe you should re-apologize. So this time when she apologized, he took a deep breath and, you know, forced himself to say, I forgive you. You know, it was so much harder that time when he understood the personal hurt that she had inflicted on him.
But, you know, and I love that story. It's sad but funny. But sometimes in life, you're the one that had the marshmallows taken away from you. And sometimes in life, you're the one that took the marshmallows.
Yes, yes. You will have both.
And we have to learn to do both of those things. When we were the one that took it, we asked forgiveness. And then if someone did something to us, we have to give that forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Forgiveness, sometimes people think if I forgive someone, then they're off the hook. Mm-hmm. They got away with it. But no, forgiveness lets you off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just think if I forgive them, they're going to get away with it. They may even do it again. Well, that's not what forgiveness is about. It's about you and letting yourself off the hook.
Right.
Years ago, I was summoned for jury duty. You know, my right as an American citizen, I won jury duty. And I went down there and they were, you know, vetting the jurors and deciding who was going to be on. So I was kind of the 12th man on the jury for then. And the different lawyers were asking me questions and they knew I was a youth pastor's wife at the time and involved in church. So one of the lawyers came up to me and she said, now, Faith, because you're a youth pastor's wife and you're a Christian, would you just say, well, if this person committed a crime, he should just be forgiven? And I said, well, I believe there's a difference between justice and paying for crimes that you did and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And they excused me from jury duty right after that.
Well, I think a lot of people think that about God, you know, that how could God forgive all this? That doesn't mean the consequences go away. And even today, like with all the stuff we're seeing, you know, to forgive things and forgive hurts and all that, that doesn't mean that laws don't need to be changed or whatever it may be. But we just don't have to live in bitterness. We don't have to live in anger. I read a story about a teenager who was 18 and he, you know, he wanted to be on the debate team, but this young lady beat him out. And he comes into school in Colorado, this is a couple years ago, and pulls out a gun on his teacher because he just wanted to threaten her. Well, then he just fired a couple shots in the air or down the hallway, not trying to hit anyone, but for some reason he turned it and looked at this girl in the classroom and shot her, and she died. And, you know, that young man's in jail still, but the family, the dad stood up at the funeral and said, I want you all to know we forgive this boy. We forgive him because we are not going to carry anger and hurt, and we ask you to forgive him too. And it was just this great act of forgiveness that, you know, something horrible, horrific happened to their family, and yet they are able to find the grace of God to forgive. And I think that's so important to what we're talking about
right,
here.
And they weren't trying to let him off the hook.
Right. You know, he need to pay the price.
Yeah, he may go on and hurt other people if he's not punished. But they were letting themselves off the hook.
That's the key there. But here's the thing. When you do decide to forgive someone, if it's a husband and wife, if it's kids, if it's a relationship at work or whatever it may be, when you do decide to forgive, don't bring it back up again. Mm. You know, if it's truly forgiven, it's gone. I'm glad God does not take our sins and throw them back in our face.
And when it comes to mind, because we're not God, we can't actually forgive and forget.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to mind, you're reminding yourself, no, that's forgiven.
Exactly.
That's forgiven. And our third thought, ask for forgiveness from the Lord. Ask forgiveness from the Lord. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But the first word is if. We do have to confess our sin. Confession, though we're not Catholic, we're Baptist, is still an important part of the Christian life.
We go directly to God with our confession there. I think it's important that we keep short accounts with God. What I mean by that is to get in the habit of confessing something right away. Don't let things sit. Don't let things build up. That's good in our relationships as well, with husband and wife or kids. If you did something wrong or you talked to your kids in a way you know you shouldn't, don't let it sit or just ignore it. No, address it. You know, you think in the Bible when Jesus was talking to Peter, and, you know, Peter said, do I forgive, you know, till seven times? And Jesus said, till 70 times seven. And he's describing there a lifestyle of forgiveness that, because when you don't forgive, everything just keeps piling up on one on top of the other, and bitterness will come from that.
And Jesus may have also thought we're all bad in math and we're like 70 times seven. I'm not sure what number I'm on right now. So I'll just keep forgiving. But you've heard that phrase, that's the last straw.
Yeah.
Well, my dad has taught me when I was a child, there never should have been a first straw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when did you start piling up the straws and keeping track that, you know, this is 498 times he did this, one more, you know, and there shouldn't be a last straw. This applies to you and your spouse, you and your kids, someone at work. It should be a lifestyle of just forgiving, forgiving, forgiving.
And it's not easy. But you have to do it. You think about kids, you know, on the playground or something, and they'll get angry or say, well, I'm not going to forgive you because you, you know, poked me with a pencil one time 3 years ago. And we look at that and we say, how immature. But adults do this exact same thing. We can be childish and we can be hurtful and hold grudges over the smallest things. But I think it's important that we don't let things build up between me and the Lord, between you and the Lord, between you and your spouse. Don't let things build up.
So ask forgiveness from the Lord, but then accept forgiveness from the Lord. Not everybody has a problem with this, but some do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in today's society, if you do something wrong and it's put online, you are forever just blackballed from everything.
Yeah.
You know, your life is done pretty
cancel
much,
culture,
you know,
and all that.
And you can do everything in your power to fix things. You can apologize. You can do all these things, but society will not forgive you.
Mm-mm.
That is the culture we live in. But God is not like that.
Thankfully, yeah.
Society may not forgive you, but you can be close to God and have his forgiveness.
Yeah, and even though, like we said, though, even though God does forgive you, there are still consequences to sin. If you've been smoking for years and years and years, and you say, God, I'm going to quit, I'm going to get right with you still may get lung cancer. You know, go out drinking and you drive and you hurt someone, you can ask forgiveness, but you may still go to jail. I think about, you know, for me as a pastor and for our deacons, there are qualifications in the Bible. And, you know, if someone falls and disqualifies themselves, God can still use that person, but maybe just not in that role or in that specific position the same way.
There are still consequences,
right.
But you can still have a closeness with the Lord.
Yeah.
You can be as close to the Lord as ever, even after you sin.
Right.
Now, of course, we're not supposed to say, well, I'll do what I want and God will forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
But it is true that whatever you do with a sincere heart, if you confess it, God will forgive you.
Right.
There may be consequences. He may not be able to use you in the way he had wanted originally. But God can still use you and you can still be close to him.
Yeah. You know, to sum all this up, and we'll close in just a second, one of my favorite preachers who's in heaven now, I'll never forget a message he preached on forgiveness. He was hurt as a teenager. By a spiritual leader of his. The spiritual leader did something that was just not right. I mean, he treated him in a wrong way. And this man grew up and he got right about it, you know, and he fixed it. And he preached a message on forgiveness, the most powerful message I've ever heard on forgiveness. And he summed up forgiveness in 3 points. He said, there is a forgiveness that sets you free when you give it, you know. Mm-hmm. There is a forgiveness that sets others free. You know, so when you get forgiveness, it sets you free. When you give forgiveness, it sets you free and it sets them free. And then there is a forgiveness that is just a lifestyle, you know, the 70 times seven thought. And those are just powerful statements. But I wondered today, those of you listening, I wonder if God's working on your heart about forgiveness. And maybe there's just something in your heart or mind that it feels like God's putting his finger on, that you either need to seek forgiveness or you need to give forgiveness, or maybe to go to him and get forgiveness.
Right, because we're talking about growth, and how can you grow if you're harboring bitterness in your heart?
Absolutely. And so those thoughts again, you know, that we talked about here, ask forgiveness from others, give forgiveness to others, ask forgiveness from the Lord, but then accept it from the Lord. Faith, tell us about our giveaway.
So in 3 weeks, we're giving away another $25 gift card to your favorite restaurant. So be sure and email us today. Don't forget, as soon as you log off, email us your name and your favorite restaurant, and so that you can be entered as part of the drawing.
And again, that website is that email address is gethsemane.info@gmail.com. Gethsemane.info, Gethsemane. Gethsemane.info. That was hard to even...
Are they writing it down?
That was even hard to say, actually. .info@gmail.com. And you can find that on our website or on the back of our tracks even. But we're excited about that. Thank you so much for listening. Hey, let's be more like Christ. Let's forgive this week. Let's seek forgiveness when we need it. Of course, he never had to do that. He never sinned. But seek forgiveness if you need it. And thank you so much again for listening. God bless you, folks. See you next week.